Hey, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. U.S. Army Private First Class Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy for giving classified secrets to WikiLeaks. The military judge hearing the case, Army Colonel Denise Lind, announced the verdict Tuesday. The charge was the most serious of 21 counts. It carried a possible life sentence without parole. Manning was convicted of 5 espionage counts, 5 theft charges, a computer fraud charge, and other military infractions. Manning's sentencing is set to begin tomorrow, but now Manning is by no means out of the woods. If the possible sentence for all the charges of which he was convicted are added up, Private Manning could be looking at over 100 years in prison. The 25-year-old Crescent, Oklahoma native acknowledged giving the anti-secrecy website hundreds of thousands of battlefield reports, diplomatic cables, and videos in early 2010. Manning said he didn't believe the information would harm troops in Afghanistan and Iraq or threaten national security. Time for you to weigh in on this. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now, you know, I've always said you can't have a democracy without information. And if the government is withholding a lot of information, well, then that's an interesting issue. Edward Snowden, we know now, is his NSA leaks, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, two of them were on the run. Manning may have to take the heat for all of them. We'll see. Let's go to Scott in Ulster Park. Okay, Scott, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I think he should be given a medal.
Oh, could you? Are you on some kind of funny phone or something like that? Because it sounds like you. Well, it sounds like you have a huge echo. So could you get closer to the mic or whatever you're doing? Yeah.
Is that better?
About 100 times. Thank you. Go ahead, Scott.
I think he deserves a medal, and just like you said, there's too much secrecy in our government today.
So you think he deserves a medal, but what if he endangered somebody's life by giving out this
information? I doubt that's happened.
Well, I mean, if he, for example, gave... I'm just playing the devil's advocate here because you pretty well know where I am, but if he gave information where somebody was a spy or somebody was, was in a place where they could be found out, why would you say I doubt it?
Because a lot of that stuff is all coded.
Well,
you're not going to put someone's actual name in as their spy. They would have a code.
Uh-huh. You know this how?
That's just the way it works with the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Why do you think that the president and the attorney general is so intent on putting a stop to this kind of thing?
Sure. The government wants secrecy.
But for what reason?
You can't have an informed public.
Okay. Scott, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. I'm glad you started us all off. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to, let's see here.
Martha.
Martha. Okay, Martha, thank you. And thank you, Bruce, for your wonderful handwriting. Appreciate it. Okay, go ahead, Martha.
Oh, yes. Well, I think these whistleblowers are heroes, as far as I'm concerned. I think, really, an iron curtain is coming down on our knowledge of what is going on in our government. And, I was just listening to Sandra Steingraber, and what is going on in the fracking is horrifying. And these ag-gag laws that corporations are trying to get passed, they're preventing people from taking pictures of the cruelty in factory farms and revealing it. These people will be jailed. And I think it's just shocking. And you know what Chris Hedges said, that there's been a corporate coup d'etat. I don't think that the government wants people to know what is going on. And I think our only hope is to have whistleblowers. And so much is coming down on the whistleblowers now.
1-800-348-2551. Martha, the terms have been thrown around like traitors. And is that incendiary to you?
No. No, I don't think they are traitors. I think they are simply revealing so we can have a better body of knowledge from which to be informed citizens and to vote.
Now Bradley Manning is surely going to jail for a long time. The other two guys have basically fled. And I'm wondering what you think of that. Do you think if somebody does this, they are honor bound to take the punishment, as in civil disobedience?
No, I don't think Edward Snowden should come back. I don't know what he would, you know, would happen to him if he did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if everybody thinks that they're going to have to face a horrible punishment, they're not going to say anything or reveal mm-hmm. anything, and we're not going to know anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Martha, I appreciate your call very much. You've started it off. All five phones are ringing, and we appreciate it a lot. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to Philip in Plainfield. Philip in Plainfield, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hey. I agree with what the last caller said, but the point I want to bring up is this is a private, just a private, mm-hmm. and he's entrusted with that kind of information. I'm sorry.
Or Snowden. Or Snowden, who was just a contractor who did not have the real classification to be able to do this stuff.
Right. But getting back to the simple little private guy, I think he's simply being used as a scapegoat. That's my point.
When you say scapegoat yeah. means diverting attention from one thing to another quite often. Do you mean scapegoat, or do you mean that he's a warning to a lot of other people, we'll get you if you do this?
No, I think he is being used as a scapegoat. I think there's somebody, I mean, why would they entrust, if that information is so important and why would they entrust it with a mere private? That's my point. I just think there's something he shouldn't be entrusted with that kind of.
Yeah, but is there, when you say scapegoat, it means yeah. that you're diverting attention from something else. That implies conspiracy. Sure. Are you talking conspiracy here?
Basically, yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just thinking why would this young man have that kind of information in his possession?
Can you not figure out that sometimes the government just doesn't know what it's doing? I mean, you know, the wall goes down in Berlin, right? And we have all of these analysts and everybody else. We have the CIA, we have the NSA, we have all of it, and nobody knew it was coming. The end of communism, no one knew it was coming. It's extraordinary. I mean, sometimes things are screwed up. I don't know.
They sure are.
Philip, I appreciate your call very much.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jim in Kingston. Jim in Kingston, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
The information age we're in now,
yep.
the intel, the info, that's the coin of the realm.
Yep.
And we're seeing how the government is going way out of its way to gather as much as it can on all of us, on everything we're doing.
No question.
And now anybody who lets this information out is being destroyed. I mean, they're doing everything possible to tell you these people are crazy, they have psychotic conditions, they're egomaniacs.
Let me stop you. So what if that's true? That's the question. In other words, let's say whatever their motivation is, the question is, do the American people have an entitlement to know what they're voting on, who they're voting for, what their positions are? I mean, I interviewed, congressmen who don't read bills. I interviewed a congressman this morning who reads every bill, every word. The real question is, so what if they've got an ego need, if in fact what they're delivering is productive for the people so that they know what they're doing?
That's what I hope we're getting, is that we're getting something we can start with. I mean, what there's some people who actually think that Manning may have been a major responsible cause for the Arab Spring, because there were things that these people found out that their governments were doing, that the opinion of the U.S. really was, and they felt it was time, and they went. And there's all these other places, not just the U.S., where the intel that got out with Manning has done things to other governments, to other movements. this is like out of hand now. The government will not let us know anything.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much. I think you make some very good points, and I appreciate them. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
That leaves one free phone, and that telephone number, as you know, is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, if your name is Francis or Rob or David or anybody else who's hanging on the phone, we'll be right with you, but we have to take a couple of seconds break here.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Joseph Cohen, optometrist, eye examination, classic eyewear, contact lens fitting in historic Uptown Kingston, participating with MVP, Empire, Davis, VSP, Medicare, and other insurances, CohenOptometry.com. Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, CapcomFCU.org. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, Rosendale, New York, newly renovated boutique hotel in the heart of the Hudson Valley, 12 guest rooms with modern amenities, close to historic landmarks, the1850house.com. And the Coe Festival in Amherst, Massachusetts, presenting Meditations from a Garden Seat, a dance theater hybrid on healing power of gardens, inspired by writings of women prisoners and Harriet Beecher Stowe, August 2nd through the 4th, CoeFest.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Zachary, for bringing us back. We've got a lot of people on the phones. In fact, every phone is busy right now. When somebody hangs up, that's the time to make the call. Let's go to Francis in Johnstown. And before we do, I want to make a point, and that is I want to hear from everybody here. So far, all we've heard from are people who think, well, the more information, the better, and these people are basically heroes who are doing this. If you have a counter view, you'll be treated with respect. Believe me, you will. Let's go to Francis in Johnstown. Okay.
Francis. Well, okay, hi, Alan.
Hey.
When I did see the news that Manning was going to be acquitted of the most, the worst of the crimes he was, being tried for,
yep,
aiding and abetting the enemy, I felt a sense of relief, almost like a father would for a son. Because
sure.
When you look at Snowden, when you look at Manning, these are men in their early 20s. They're highly idealistic. They're a little naive. And I believe that both of them probably underestimated the world of trouble that they would get in if they continued on with their plan, without regard to whether or not at the end of the day it was a good thing or a bad thing. I just think, you know, young men in their early 20s, they can come to very, very quick conclusions and have a very firm mindset. And I think both of them, to a certain degree, legalistically stepped in it big time. And what comes across to me as someone who's 55 years old is naivety, really.
Francis, in all honesty, aren't there some people, you know, you're coming to this on your own, who really, they went to college or they went to high school, and their character demands that they behave in this way. How do we know that they didn't know what was coming to them?
Well, I'm just saying, from the standpoint of young people. I have two daughters that are that age, and, you know, they come to really quick snap conclusions.
Yeah.
They can be extremely judgmental, and they often don't think through the consequences of what it is that
okay.
they're saying or what it is that they're endorsing.
Okay, that's a very good, wait, Francis, that's a very good perspective, and I appreciate that. I really do. But on the main question, do you think we're better off or worse off that they've done this?
Wow. I'm balanced better off, but what pains me is that we have a government, we have a Congress, we have committees, they have oversight. Damn it, that was their job to do. They should have been.
Yeah, should have, would have, schmood have, but they didn't. And Francis, let me give you a little bit of a feedback here. Don't you think that to some degree the system takes care of itself? So now you get a judge. The judge acquits of this, top charge. But the guy is convicted on so many charges that he'll go to jail for a long time. Don't you think that there's a possibility that, I'm not talking conspiracy here, but I'm talking everybody's in on it. Everybody knows their role. They assign a judge because they know what the judge is going to do. They know whether they can trust the judge to do it, to balance things. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly what I think. And you and I, being a little bit older,
yes,
you know, have a sense of how bureaucracies work and the power and the grinding power of bureaucracy.
Yeah,
you know, what would have come across my mind, were I in their shoes and being my age and having my experience, is this material mine to give away?
Okay, but wait. If your daughter, who you just mentioned, referenced, comes to see you and said, Dad, I've got to do it. I've just got to do this. I don't care what it costs me. What would you tell your daughter?
I would say, my dear, you could be ruining your life.
Right. And your daughter says, oh, Dad, that's the problem, Dad. You're the kind of person who got us into this in the first place. Now I've got to step up. And you would say?
I will pray for you, my dear.
Francis, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Rob in Gilderland. Rob, you're on.
Hi, yeah. I'd just like to comment, I guess, more about how the little we're actually hearing about what was leaked, like, especially by the media. I think they're not really doing a great job. I mean, at least with what Manning released with WikiLeaks. I mean, you ask the average person, they really have no idea, like, all the intricate details of what actually was leaked and what the government's actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with, like, Snowden. I mean, most of the coverage of him is about the trial and the consequences, not actually, you know, what he found out or what he kind of uncovered.
Yep. So you're telling us that even though this stuff has been leaked, most of us have no idea what was in it.
Yeah, and I think that's actually probably more effective. Maybe, I wouldn't say exactly it's a conspiracy or anything, but the media is actually doing kind of a better job.
Oh, I see. You think the media is in on it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That might be kind of hard to say that exactly, but they're...
I don't mean in on the Manning side, in on the other side of suppressing information.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, it's not necessarily for any reason other than it might not be the highest, you know, rating. It wouldn't give them the highest ratings. So
well,
maybe not.
You take somebody religion. Like, there are different, of course, a point Rex always makes on the Media Project is the media isn't one thing. So, you know, you may get The Guardian in England, which I believe started the whole thing, and then you get it leaked into the New York Times, and they have some guts, and then you have some of the, you know, those reprehensible media dogs basically saying traitor and the rest of it. So media is different, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would say more kind of the general United States media, like the broadcast networks, and I guess most of the newspapers, right? Yeah, the New York Times, I guess they did a good job. Although not a lot of people would actually go take the time.
Well, that's our fault. That's our fault, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And that's a big part of it. But are we better off or not better off because this has happened?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's actually a huge difference. Because, like I said before, I don't think a lot of people actually know what, you know, happened. But.
So because of the apathy, it may not be a huge difference.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you very much. It does occur to me, Rob, that, you know, if the information is out there and it's been committed digitally one way or the other, that somebody's going to sure as hell get their hands on it and it won't be secret anymore, not in this age. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Hey, Rob, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Okay,
Let's
go to David in Cambridge. All right, David, you're on. Your turn.
Hello there, Dr. Chartok.
You can call me Alan. Go ahead.
Hello, Alan. Yeah. I would like to bring up a couple of your first caller, when you asked them, sometimes they require some contemplation and you got to move this along, but how do these people know the identities of the intelligence agents who are overseas, and how do they, well, not know them? And I suppose, I guess, the one answer to that question would be 007. They're in codes. We didn't find out until long after the World War II that Julia Child and photographer Philip Stearns, for example, were working for the U.S. agencies, the OCS, as well as the British counterparts. As far as the previous caller, whose two daughters who are taking a stand, and they're All I can
who
say...
Who might be Tengenstein. I posited that to him.
Yeah.
He didn't say they were. Yeah.
I suppose the response to his two daughters would be to the two daughters, you are better daughters than I, Gunga Din, uh-huh. I suppose. I have to take my hat off to them. And here's another question. I'm at the age now where I have more questions than answers, really.
How old are you?
I'm 56.
A child.
I like to think of that. I can still dance. But... did they ever, one of the things that Bradley Manning exposed was the footage of the helicopter pilots, the gunship, going after the people in the van, including those two Reuters reporters who were shot just because. And was there any sort of investigation or prosecution, not only into the people who pulled the trigger, but into the higher-ups who gave them the clearance with which to do so?
We're going to leave that rhetorically because I haven't got the slightest idea.
Neither do I.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, let's go to... So that leaves one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Bill in Woodstock. Hey, Bill, you're on.
Hi,
Bill.
Alan.
Hey, Bill.
I just wanted to point out a certain amount of hypocrisy and irony in this, because Manning and Snowden basically exposed things that the U.S. government did that were questionably illegal under our laws, and yet when Cheney and his cohorts exposed Valerie Plame's identity, where was the outrage then? Where was the outrage from government officials then? Why didn't they press charges against those guys for exposing a CIA agent who was doing good work to protect the American public? I don't understand the hypocrisy of the outrage from Schumer and all these other officials that don't seem to understand that these guys were trying to let the public know their government was doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and yet when government officials, high government officials, were doing things they shouldn't have been doing, we didn't say a single word about it. All this talk about treason, well, there was a clear example of treason with Cheney and his buddies.
What about Libby? Didn't Libby go to jail, or wasn't he pardoned?
Who, Cheney?
No, Libby.
Cheney was
Libby.
Libby was pardoned. Yeah, he was pardoned. He was let go.
Yeah.
And Cheney was never charged with a single thing, and he was clearly behind it.
No, indeed. Well, Bill, do you think? I mean, one of the things that strikes me here is the idea that we have two political parties that are the major parties in this country, and that it would appear that there's no difference when you're approaching this subject of whether or not this should be illegal.
Right, and quite frankly, I don't think there are two parties. I think they're one big party, and they're having a big party at our expense. I don't see a real clear division between based on the policies that they condone with each other. They put on a good show in Congress, and they put on a good show in the Senate, but I don't frankly think that there's very much daylight between the two parties.
Well, Bill from Woodstock, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much,
Alan.
And I hope you'll keep calling.
Appreciate your time.
Yep.
You have a good day.
Okay. That now leaves two free phones for the first time. My goodness. 1-800-348-2551. How can that be? How am I failing? Let's go to Jim from Liberty. Okay, Jim from Liberty. Here you go. You're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, Jim.
I hate to go against everybody, but the plain and simple fact is this guy Manning and Snowden both, for that matter, are just plain simple criminals.
And Assange, according to
you. I wouldn't elevate them to the point of all this dialogue. They signed a non-disclosure agreement, both of them did, to get their jobs. Manning didn't because he was in the military, but the same applies. And they broke the law. It's plain and simple. We're a nation of laws. If we choose to abide by some and not others, then we're not a nation of laws anymore. I just find the thing a little bit troubling that everybody is all for this guy and making him a hero. He basically, if he were in civilian life and he did that at any job, he would be fired and perhaps prosecuted. So I'm sorry, and I'm an independent. I'm not certainly not right-leaning by any stretch, but I just think it's a simple case. They're lawbreakers, both of them.
Well, so let me ask you a question. You may be right. But and by the way, thank you for calling. I think it's so important we get all sides on this. But if in fact he is criminal, you do on any level do you respect civil disobedience? In other words, at the point at which you take a job and then you find out that you think something terrible is going on, and your conscience or your God calls you to make these disclosures.
I absolutely agree with that, Alan. But there is a method by which you do that, and it's called whistleblower.
What do you think this is? Wasn't this whistleblowing?
No, absolutely not. Because whistleblowing, by its own definition, is you either go to your superiors or their superiors and stay within your government or your body to blow the whistle. You do not make all this information public. That's not whistleblowing.
Well, I beg to differ with you. I think, first of all, again, I want to thank you for making this call, and I think it's so important. But whistleblowing can often mean that if you stay within the structure, that message, you go to them and say, okay, I want you to know this is going on. They say, so? And then that's that. I mean, you understand my point, Jim. True whistleblowing is you're going to make a change. You're going to blow the whistle outside of the establishment.
And that's well and good, but you don't make it available to the world, for goodness sake. If you're going to whistleblow in this country, whistleblow in this country. But you do not make it available to the world and hand it over to people like Assange, who have no respect for any government anywhere. If we don't have government and we don't have laws, then we have anarchy. It's just plain and simple.
Well, Jim, I treasure your call. I don't agree with some of what you're saying, but believe me, I think it's so important you made it, and I appreciate it, okay?
Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And let's go to Mike in Oneonta. Okay, Mike, how's things?
Good afternoon, Doctor. How are you today?
Good.
I want to say that I was actually an employee of the NSA for several years in combat situations. And, it's very difficult, I think, for the population who has not been involved in that world to understand that it is a completely different world unto itself. And to have a conversation based on what we would assume are facts, I would strongly support that they're not the facts. We would often watch CNN and the news agencies to see what they would say based on the misinformation that we would provide them. It's a different world.
Whoa, that's so interesting. What did you just say? You're saying the NSA purposely supplied CNN with misinformation.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not certainly not going to say that we directly provided them with misinformation. What I would say is that in times of combat, you have to do things, I think, during combat situations that most people would never consider or understand doing in a normal civilian day. We deal with a lot of governments who do not follow the rules of engagement that we do. They do not follow the policy and procedures of combat, as you'd say, as we do. And it's a dirty, war is a very dirty business. It's a very secretive, very underhanded business. I think with the amount of technology that's available today, just calling something secret anymore, I don't even know if that's possible, especially once it's digitized, once it's in that environment.
Yeah.
It's hackable, it's accessible, and once it's hackable and accessible, you can disseminate it to anyone you choose.
Mike, first of all, thank you for making this call. Secondly, I'm a little concerned about what I think I heard. Sometimes I say something on the air and somebody calls up and says, you said, and I said nothing like it. So I want to make sure I understand what you're saying here. But if I'm hearing that the civilian population doesn't have the capacity to know what war is,
correct,
and to know the sophistication in which you have to fight wars, then how can we ever have what we call democracy from the people, demos, from the people? How can we have that if your assumption that the military and the NSA and the CIA have to be freed up to do what they have to do? And then we get things like waterboarding. We get things that
Correct.
Are going on like torture. And so it's concerning to me that your basic premise, I think I heard you saying, is above our capacity to understand it.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's above all people's capacity to understand it. I wouldn't want to be put on a board to make decisions on anything in your academic world because I couldn't understand it and make a good informed decision. What I would say is that news organizations, much more now than 15 or 20 years ago, are immediate. You know, news isn't sent reel to reel. It's sent through satellite. It's instantaneous. And sometimes to give information or to allow information now can really jeopardize an operation, which directly jeopardizes American lives. I'm not saying that we can't comprehend. I'm saying there are different areas of expertise. And when you are involved in something, you understand it. When you're not involved in it, it's very difficult to make a decision that's going to severely affect the outcome of whatever that operation is if you don't understand that procedure.
Mike, we're up against the hard break here, but I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Don't you think that is the kind of rationale that is offered every time a dictator or, you know, a Stalin or a Hitler or any of those guys takes over, they say to their people, you don't understand, only we can understand?
I would not argue with that one bit.
Okay. Mike, I really appreciate your call. You added a great dimension.
Thank you. I love your show. I listen every day.
Okay.
Every day.
Thank you, Mike. Okay.
Be well.
We'll take a short break, and then we'll be right back to talk to Eric and Rick and Mike and Bill and anybody else who wants to call.
Support for WAMC comes from Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. 518-393-8800. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment. Berkshire.coop. Sweet Honey in the Rock with the Berkshire Choral Festival Chorus, Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Berkshire School, Sheffield, Massachusetts, choralfest.org. And New York State Canal Corporation, featuring Canal Splash, a weekend of activities and events in communities throughout New York's canal system. August 9th, 10th, and 11th, cruise the past, unlock the adventure, canals.ny.gov.
We're back, and we have five phones, and all five phones are blinking like crazy. Let's go to Eric in Ellenville. Okay, Eric, how are things in Ellenville?
Hello, Alan. Terrence in Palinville, but it's close.
Oh, Palinville. Okay, well, that's close. A few miles between them.
I just kind of want to, the last caller kind of touched on the point I wanted to ask you about or make was, I mean, do you think there's ever an instance where the public is better off perhaps not knowing, you know, some information that the government may have, you know, akin to almost a way where if there's a criminal investigation, the investigators may be privy to information but won't release it to the public in order, because it would be detrimental to the investigation?
Well, I think in all honesty, Eric, that might be different. In other words, if you withhold a piece of information about, because I watch it on Law and Order all the time, we never told you that there was a knife or whatever else. That's different, I think, from areas of major public policy. For example, are we going to commit? I had Chris Gibson on this morning. He's a Republican congressman. We did our thing for the Congressional Corner, and he is dead set against foreign involvement in some of these places. So if you don't have the information, you know, about Afghanistan, if you don't have the information, then how can we as a public? So I keep coming down to this, and that is, Aristotle would say, you know, it's all a matter of balance. It's balance.
No, I agree.
The issue.
I agree 100%. You know, it just seems that there could be, and I'm gray on the whole issue, and, you know, I'm kind of right down the middle on the whole thing.
Sure.
But it does seem that there are instances where perhaps, there are things that maybe the public shouldn't know because it could be detrimental to an action.
I got it. Eric, who decides? See, that's where it gets sticky.
No, and I agree with you. It's a very murky.
Because at the point at which you give the decision maker the power to do this, you know what's going to happen. You know, it's going to get abused. And on the other hand, I'm sure we could put our minds to it and think of situations in which probably something ought to be withheld from the public, which might cause mass chaos or, you know, something of that kind. So it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, I want to get to everybody, but thank you, Eric, for calling.
Okay. Take care.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Rick in Leeds. Rick in Leeds, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hey. I just wanted to ask, is it safe to talk? I wasn't quite sure. Is somebody going to be listening to this recording a little later? And
I'm assuming so.
Interesting. The last couple of callers have been quite interesting, and I just wanted to comment a little bit about some. Sure. I guess we can't handle the truth is really what that gentleman was saying, and he's probably right.
Uh-huh.
You know, I suppose if we knew the entire agenda for a lot of things, we'd be pretty astonished. And maybe we're not.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point. I'm reading little by little by little thousands of pages of the Manchester book on Churchill, and I'm almost done with it. And, you know, there was the essential sense that Roosevelt was opposed to the continuing of imperialism by the British. And that a lot of rationale went into stopping the British after World War II from continuing what they were doing. On the other hand, some of the biggest actors in the United States were getting a hold of the former British, you know, Middle Eastern oil pipelines and oil wells to help us. But the announced agenda was quite different from what was really going on.
Well, most certainly. And the people of late, boy, Roosevelt is like their rally cry, you know, that's the guy that started the whole problem, isn't it?
Well, no, I think it's from the moment we crawled out of the slime, to be perfectly honest with you, and went to two different caves and started throwing rocks at each other.
We're in deep doo-doo ecologically, just from that program that was on previous to Vox Pop.
Yeah. We've had Sandra Steingraber on many, many times.
Information. I don't know if people are alarmed enough. You know, I suppose they should be. I keep thinking of that quote. It's something like, tell me, Winston, what do you really think of Big Brother? And I think we got some big problems. We need to wake up a little bit about, you know, having some direction that we actually caused.
Now, somebody just made the point. You just made the point, as a matter of fact. Is the NSA listening to us? And I said, of course. I mean, I don't think there's any question if they're photographing, if the postal people are photographing every single letter that is going through, which I read, the post office, you better believe somebody's out there taking down all of these things. But on the other hand, this is still a country where you can have a program like this.
This is true. And if they're worried about this conversation, they got a problem.
Hey, Rick, thanks for calling. I want to try to get everybody in. Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye. Yeah.
Let's go to Mike in
Pleasant Valley.
Where Valley? What Valley?
Pleasant Valley.
Pleasant Valley. Oh, Pleasant Valley. It said here Plecton Valley, and I thought that maybe we were on the we were playing the banjo. Go ahead. I'm just teasing.
Well,
yeah.
I'd like to talk about the callers you just had, but before I do, the thing that I wanted to bring up was, you know, quis custodiet ipsos custodes. It's the Latin phrase for who watches the watchers, who guards the guardians.
Sure.
And this is something, and then everybody else is alluding to, well, can the American public handle the truth? And if you're military or not military, well, listen, I was in the service, and I was also a contractor. I was in the Middle East. I've been on deserted islands. I've been all over the place.
Right.
And I do believe that the American public can handle the truth.
Sure.
And I do think that they should be angry and frustrated if the country is lying to them or deceiving them. And if the caller, I think it was three callers ago, is saying that only the military can handle what they're doing because of their skill set, I don't believe that's true. That now you're talking about something like the author Robert Heinlein was talking about with Starship Troopers, where only people that are veterans can vote. I mean, this is still a free country, and people, whether they were in the service or not, are going to be able to handle the truth and should be given that opportunity.
Well, I sure can't disagree with you, Mike.
So, you know, and of course, okay, people are recording us and we're doing this and that, but we still, as you said, live in a country where we still have the opportunity and freedom at least to speak our mind. We don't have to agree. And I think if people were able to take back the power that they have so that Congress is afraid of us, then we would have more say in what was happening and know more of the truth. But because we've kind of laid down and let corporations take over and pay for whatever Congress wants to do, they don't care about the regular Joe, the regular voter. And that's very sad. I lived out of the country for 5 years. I came back, it was a totally different country.
Interesting. Mike, I'm going to give you that last word because we want to get to Bill and Arnold and Brace and Lee, okay?
No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Very good points. Okay, let's go to Bill in Connecticut. Bill in Connecticut, you're on.
Dr. Chartok, thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I'm enjoying your program today. I just had a couple of things I wanted to mention. You know, I am a believer in government transparency. However, you know, just some of the things as far as, you know, if you or I sign a contract or anybody else, we're responsible for reading the information and knowing what's on that and owning it ultimately. And I find it hard to believe that Private Manning took the time to read 700,000 pages of documents and understand it before he released it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that makes him responsible. You know, that makes him ultimately responsible for all that material he released.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have said that, you know, previous callers mentioned the Arab Spring, that some of this may have led up to some of that conflict. And if that's the case, that cost some people their lives, a lot of people. And, you know, if you remember back, one of your callers a moment ago mentioned President Roosevelt in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if it was World War II or I, where, you know, people were executed for desertion. And, you know, that was for maybe holding to their own beliefs. I'm not saying that he should be responsible for that.
Bill, I take your point. I wanted to ask you a question. So, you say he should do hard time. And, of course, unlike Assange and Snowden, he has admitted his role in this thing. Let me ask you this. If, in fact, it turns out that he was willing to take it, he was being civilly disobedient, he did what he thought was right, do you have any respect for him? In other words, he was willing to take the consequences.
I can appreciate his, you know, him wanting to do what he thinks is the right thing. But in the position he's in as a private and a part of the government, I think he was way out of line. And
always,
you know,
Bill,
do I have respect for him for releasing it? No.
Okay.
But holding up to his own beliefs, you know, I would in the right situation.
Okay. Now, what if you get the My Lai massacre? Okay. And somebody blows the whistle on the fact that they wiped out this village, because they were just angry, the soldiers at the time or whatever. Do you think that they should have gone through channels too?
I think that's a different situation.
Well, everything's different. Yeah,
I think it's a completely different situation. I feel that the right things were done at that point, but with this particular situation, I think it's kind of a wild card what could happen as a result of releasing that kind of information. Sure. We might not feel the effects of that for 20 years.
Hey, Bill, I want to thank you for making this call. It's so important that we have a real dialogue here, and you've added significantly to it, and I do appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to let's go to Arnold in Covington, Massachusetts. Okay, Arnold, you're up.
I'm shocked that nobody mentions that the PFC in the Army is one of the lowest imaginable ranks and that this man could do what he could do without any supervision. I think some of his supervisors are responsible, just as any supervisor in the Army is responsible for the men under him. That's one thing that I'm shocked that nobody mentions that.
Okay, you mentioned it now, which is why we have the program. What else you got?
Well, the other thing is that, you know, when I was in the Army, we were told we'd be shot if we give the enemy any assistance or tell them anything that we shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
And then we had somebody in the president's office out Valerie Plame, and that subject is kept quiet. somebody has been responsible there, and we know that that did our country some harm.
Yeah, well, you're the second person of the day to make that very good point. Arnold, I want to try to get everybody in. We only got a few seconds here, and we thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's go to Brace in Kingston. Brace.
Bruce,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Alan, you had said a few minutes ago, you know, when we crawled out of the slime, I think we're crawling back into the slime. And there's something that...
It's an old Tom Paxton line, by the way. I can't take credit for it. Go ahead.
Right. There's something that I haven't heard very much, but that occurred to me very strongly about TMI, too much information.
Mm-hmm.
The intelligence agencies can't even, you know, do their job correctly because they're handling a lot of stuff that has no significance as well. Now, I don't know how you deal with that. The other thing is, of course, we wouldn't even be having these debates, which are so important to any Democrat, if Bradley Manning and
Snowden or Assange, go ahead.
And what they did, which I think, you know, so there's a lot of hypocrisy. Now,
wait a second, whose hypocrisy? Theirs?
No, not theirs.
Okay, all right. I just want to keep it clear. Go ahead.
People who are saying, you know, they should be given, you know, the worst. It's a very mixed bag. And during the Iraq War, which is still, you know, winding down, going on, there was a lot of manipulating of intelligence, as there was during Vietnam.
You bet.
Well, from the top down. And who went to jail over that? Nobody went to jail. You know, Cheney manipulated intelligence. There was a program on PBS a few years ago, Rubicon, and it was about a man who was running a very top-level secret intelligence agency and conspiring with his, with business partners who are not part of the agency, manipulate the intelligence.
Okay. Hey, Bruce, only because we only have 2 more minutes, I want to try to get everybody in. Thank you for the call. Very interesting. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Lee in Ulster. Okay, Lee in Ulster, you're on.
Alan, the thing that I want to say is that what bothers me as much as anything else about this is that the conduit for this information coming out seems to be these very young people that I don't think have enough time or understanding of what's going on to appreciate the moral weight of what they're doing.
Okay.
Not like a reporter, a 45-year-old reporter 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago in Vietnam. I mean, it's almost as if you have the opportunity to do this, you can't pass up the chance. And you are indiscriminate in the way you do it. It's whatever you can get your hands on, you push it out the door. That's the thing that bothers me. We keep talking about whether these guys are heroes or leakers or this or that. I wonder if there isn't some other consideration here.
Okay, Lee, I take your point. I wish we had more time. But if you, I can go on to Daniel, and that'll be it. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Okay, let's go to Daniel in Troy. Daniel.
Hi, Alan.
Got
30 seconds. One of your callers earlier made the point, and I think it's very, very important, that the media is not really covering this very well. Really, you ask the question, are we better off or worse off? We're no different than we were before. The last time I looked, everything everyone is reporting on is Edward Snowden's hotel accommodation. Where is he staying? Where is he hiding? Nobody's discussing the content. And I think that if you believe that the there's no directive coming out of Washington to make sure that the major networks aren't directing some of this dialogue, then I've got a great bridge I'd like to sell you.
Well, Daniel, you are the second person who's talked to us about the media. I think the fault, as we all know, is in ourselves, in that the media gives us what we can handle and what we want, as opposed to what we ought to have. And as I said before, there's lots of different parts of media, and some do and some don't. Hey, I really want to thank you, Daniel, for calling. And that's all the time we have today. Joan from Troy, thinks perhaps Manning is technically guilty, but we don't have time for more than that. Okay, that's all the time. Thanks to all of our callers. You can always drop us an email to share your thoughts, voxpop@wmc.org. Thanks to Zachary Malloy at the controls. Callie Winkeller at all. It's Bruce Herbach answering the phones today. And support for the Vox Pop comes from Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurrentCompliance.com, the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org, Amherst Cinema, Amherst, Massachusetts, first-run independent film, presenting the audience with Helen Mirren from Britain's National Theater and a summer Scorsese festival, AmherstCinema.org, and the Lake George Mirror, covering the news of Lake George since 1880 on newsstands throughout the Lake George Basin, LakeGeorgeMirror.com. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow, Ray Graff hosts another spellbinding edition of Pets and Vets. Does your dog do something bad? Tune in at 2 p.m. for that. Thanks for being here, everybody, today. Stay tuned now for a news update.